I work for a family office that does public equity investing and manages portfolios. We have been studying the live music space, including CTS Eventim, Live Nation, and others. We are trying to get our arms around the industry landscape in Europe and how it is similar and different to what we experience in the U.S. Could you describe your background at CTS and the roles you had there and the various parts of the business that you were involved in?
I was with Eventim for 12 years at their Hamburg office. The main headquarters in Bremen hosts the programmers, accounting, sales, e-commerce, and live entertainment folks. In the first 6 years, I did various jobs in consultative roles as well as business development, ranging from introducing the voucher business, selling Eventim vouchers in fast-moving consumer goods outlets, to, in the second half of my time, building the sales team for Eventim.Lite, which was an answer to Eventbrite. During that time, Eventbrite was building momentum in the market as a self-ticketing tool and was getting more attention from the Eventim board. They decided to build Eventim.Lite as a protective answer towards Eventbrite, and I was sales hire number one. I then built a sales team of 25 people and rolled that out to other Eventim countries.
The core Eventim ticketing business for live events. It sounds like you didn't work on that directly.
Would you define that as the deals that were made between the large live promoters?
I assume that is the biggest part of the Eventim business.
It is both software and live. I didn't directly deal with promoters.
Are you familiar with how that business is positioned and how it competes in Europe with Ticketmaster and others?
Yes, I am.
How would you divide up the Eventim ticketing business into pieces? How would you categorize it?
Vertically and geographically. Eventim has independent geographic operations. In Austria, it's a different brand called O-Ticket. The German word for Austria is Österreich, and they call it O-Ticket. If you look at the O-Ticket website, you would see some similarities to Eventim, but it is a different brand. I believe it used to be a different company and they bought it. Similarly, in Switzerland, it is called Ticket Corner. In Finland, it is called Lipu.fi, and there was another purchase they made. They are all run independently, but after purchasing, they would install the Eventim software to run under one roof. They opened offices in many other countries, including Italy, Spain, France, and the U.S. Vertically is another dimension. One Eventim software is specialized towards classical entertainment, opera houses, and theaters. Another targets live entertainment festivals. There's also one for large arena tours, similar to Ticketmaster and Live Nation. They host a large array of very different types of software systems, which were in part proprietary software that was built, and in part software pieces that came through acquisitions. Sometimes they get rid of a software solution and use existing ones, and sometimes they keep them around. They would all now live under the brand Eventim or Ticketmaster, respectively. I think that is the largest differentiator. With Ticketmaster, Eventim, and all the large brands out there that are B2C consumer-facing, you would have promoters which belong to the group. Ticketmaster and Live Nation bought all the independent promoter groups. I think there are not too many left in the U.S. In Europe, a similar thing is going on where there is Live Nation, Ticketmaster, Eventim, and a few others. To protect content, it is obvious. If you see nice content and that gets your ticket engine and your B2C business going, you want to secure that stake. So you buy at least 51% of that group. Another thing you could add to this differentiation of how the market works is that they have secured their own promoters. Their own promoters mainly sell on Eventim or Ticketmaster. You would see some Ticketmaster promoters that would maybe use other networks like Eventim or geographically specific ones.
In terms of B2C, is the Eventim brand specific to Germany or is it the operating brand in other countries?
If Lipu.fi had been developed into a strong brand before being purchased, they wouldn't kill the brand, so they kept it around. They could have introduced Eventim.fi, but they didn't do that. The same can be said for Switzerland and Austria, which have strong national brands. Eventim is extremely well known. If you walk up to anyone in Germany and ask them where they buy their tickets, they would answer Eventim. Hardly anyone would know any other site to purchase a ticket. That is the place to go.
It sounds like Eventim as a brand isn't necessarily recognized in other countries. In Europe, they have their own country-specific brands.
In Poland, I think they use the brand Eventim. In France, it is another brand. In Holland, I think they use Eventim, but it is not as strong as it is in Germany. To answer your question, it is mainly Germany.
Where would Eventim Lite have fit into this breakdown? Was it a separate vertical, so to speak, like small events?
Not so much a vertical, but rather the size of the potential clients. It is probably anything up to 10,000 tickets per year. It could be a semi-professional student network doing college parties, a small upcoming festival, a sports event, or an exhibition. Anything that needs only a limited set of features and functionalities to sell tickets. It is across verticals. If you go onto the Finnish website of Eventim, you would probably find something like Lippu Lite, not Eventim Lite, under the Lippu brand.
Is it an ongoing part of the portfolio? The light version for those specific use cases?
Absolutely.
For the core live events part of Eventim, whether it is a festival, a club, or a large arena, how do the economics of a ticket sale break down? How much does the consumer pay? How much does the ticketing company keep? How much goes to the artist? How much goes to the promoter? Do you have an understanding of that in generic terms?
In generic terms, what I have seen is, and the public pricing information would give a good starting point to break down this, if you go to eventbrite.de, there is a calculator that you could use if you are a potential small promoter. You would say the ticket price is 100 euros and you sell about 100 tickets. So you make 10,000 euros total event value. You can choose whether the ticket purchaser pays the fee or you do. Here it says if the ticket purchaser pays the fee for the 100 euro ticket, as a promoter you get the 100 euros. Your end customer would pay 107 euros and 72 cents. The ticket fee that Eventbrite keeps is around 7 to 8%. It is important to see whether payment is included. Then it would really depend on what payment methods are included. For example, PayPal is still extremely relevant in Germany, but it is quite expensive. If you go into PayPal, you might see their payment cost is 2.5%. You could probably get it down to 1.5% or even 1% if you have very high volume. Credit card companies charge less, but that is obviously something that is covered. We are talking about very small promoters, and obviously the bigger the promoter gets, the more favorable conditions they will get. If you host a Metallica tour, everyone wants your tour. If you use this 8%, you could probably see anything from 15% on the high end going down to 1% on the low end. You might see people paying advancements. If you are selling a Metallica tour, you are not bound through your promoter to Live Nation or another network. You would probably want someone to buy the tour from you before you have done the tour. If you look at the margins of an Eventbrite, say they charge 8%, as a promoter, you would probably have to sell at least 90% of the tickets to start making a profit, because you have already paid a large upfront sum to Metallica and are carrying a lot of risk. Maybe Metallica does something politically incorrect, and then people no longer want to go.
Describe a little bit more the relationship between the promoter and the ticketing company. In the U.S., venues generally choose who is going to do their ticketing. In Europe, my understanding is it is the promoter for a specific event who decides who is going to ticket the event. Is that the right way to think about it?
There are multiple ways. I have seen venues who would mainly rent out their venue. That is all they would do. Whoever would approach them, a promoter or a regional promoter or some other promoter doing an event, they would say, "You want my venue? This is the price." And there are no additional asks or services. I have spoken of venues who would always require, if it is a concert, a certain percentage of the tickets to be sold through their own so-called in-house system. They would run a website that is unique to their venue. They would always have concert tickets on sale through their own in-house system. They tell whatever promoter comes to them, "You are going to have to give me 10% of all the tickets for this event in my venue for me to sell directly." They would use that to generate end customer data and to generate extra revenue because they could set the pre-sales fee. They would pay the promoter the basic ticket price and then sell that plus 10% and maybe sell a t-shirt with it. There are other venues where they might require their ticket system to be used. They might have an access control system where whatever tickets are being sold, those ticket codes would have to be imported into the access control system of the venue to be scanned there. They might charge extra for renting out the access control systems. There are others where the promoter, mainly the tour promoter, would make a deal with a ticket company, and then all tickets would be sold through either the promoter's ticketing software or the ticket company they would make a deal with. You would have a promoter, if it is an independent promoter, who could decide to do nowadays all ticket sales themselves using a purely B2B ticket sale software. For the company I'm working for now, we do not have a B2C business. We do not have a marketplace. We provide software and services for promoters to sell their tickets directly. There is something that is definitely a trend where now big artists, or even small artists, they all have their social media followers that directly communicate with their fans. Many of them now say, "I want to sell my tickets directly to my fans." The direct-to-consumer ticket for concerts has come up recently. You might find artist management making deals with the software company and the promoter. They now tell the promoter, "If you want my tour, you are going to have to allow me to sell 20% of my tickets myself." With the remaining 80%, the promoter can either sell tickets directly or make a deal with Eventim or Ticketmaster. This is why it is difficult to make general assessments, because oftentimes it doesn't depend on the type of vertical or tour. It might just depend on what the artist wants. Even promoters within networks, where you would have maybe Ticketmaster or another group owning 51% of the shares, you might still see deals where the promoter tells Ticketmaster or CTS Eventim, "I need to sell tickets directly because I need the data. And also my artist requires to sell tickets directly," which would then not go into the big networks. The technological possibilities nowadays make it complicated from the outside to see who sells what percentage.
Is it fair to say if it is an artist promoted by a Eventim promoter in Germany, is that promoter almost always going to sell the tickets through Eventim?
Yes.
But if it is a Live Nation promoter, I know they bought that big one in Germany 10 years ago, and they have a German business. Will they always sell through Ticketmaster? Or might they choose a different ticketing platform?
They would try and sell everything through Ticketmaster, even though I have seen tickets that weren't sold in the network that you would think they would be sold in. This is not specific to Ticketmaster Live Nation, but probably the network didn't sell as well as the promoter was hoping for. When there are dynamics and the artist would pressure the management and the promoter saying, "I think if we use this other network, I could sell out more venues quicker," then you might see tickets appearing on channels which you wouldn't expect that to happen from the ownership.
If there is a live event, does the consumer who is going to buy a ticket care at all which ticketing platform they go to? Why does reach and brand awareness matter if a particular tour could say, "Here is where our tickets are, this no-name site you have never heard of, buy them there"?
I think it matters only for Eventim, because they have been around for so long and they have a very high level of trust in Germany. Probably the other regional brands do as well. The German and European consumer is a bit hesitant purchasing on sites they don't know, because they would not trust that brand. I have seen and heard many cases where people would say, "I'd really like to buy this concert, but it's not on Eventim, so maybe it's not real." This is obviously something that if you have a very young audience, a very technical audience who purchase on many different e-commerce sites, they might not care as much. But for a large part of German consumers purchasing tickets, they would prefer to buy on a site where they have purchased before, where they can ring up a hotline, and where maybe in the past they had problems going to a concert or something didn't work, and they got good customer service. They have over the past years developed an extremely high level of trust for their brand. That does matter in that case, especially in Germany.
How would the Ticketmaster brand in Germany stack up to Eventim? Are people like, "Oh, I've heard of that too. It's a big global company. I have full trust," or, "No, never heard of it"?
Most would say never heard of it, because the average person going to an event might go to 2.5 events per year. They would have mainly seen Eventim in the past, not Ticketmaster. If Eventim has 95% awareness, Ticketmaster would have 5%.
Would it be higher amongst somebody who travels around and goes to festivals?
Yes, or someone who has been in the US or the UK, they would know Ticketmaster. Your normal domestic German concert goer wouldn't know Ticketmaster.
Do people always know the show they are looking for? Or would a German consumer ever say, "Hey, I want to see some music. I'm not sure what I want to see, but Eventim has the most shows, so I'll browse their site and see what's happening and pick something"?
I don't think they would. I think it might happen with the typical box office, where maybe you'd have a person interested in cultural classical events and they don't know what's up. They would go there. Eventim has a lot of those as well throughout Germany. It probably does happen where people go to the Eventim site and see what's going on. People give Eventim as a gift voucher to other people because it is a good present and it is a well-known brand. Maybe you didn't plan to go to an event, but You received a voucher, so you go to Eventim. I think for the majority of people purchasing tickets, they probably would have heard through social media that their artist or band is coming to town. Then they would either follow the link on the social media site or Google it. If they Google it and it's on Eventim, they would always come to Eventim. If you Google something in Germany that has the word tickets in it, Eventim almost always ranks on top. Eventim had done a tremendous job to ensure they are listed in the top ranks, and I would think they do the same now with ChatGPT.
What about the technical capabilities of a ticketing platform? If you were promoting a show in Germany and a bunch of cities, a typical show, not a huge tour, maybe not a tiny one, what are the technical capabilities of Ticketmaster versus Eventim? Are they basically the same, or are there real differences in reliability, security, or other areas that people would say, this really matters, and it is different?
I think most of the ticketing software out there does 80 to 90% the same thing. They sell basic tickets. If you look into more detail, you will find differences, but they don't make a difference to the business. If you really wanted to go above and beyond in terms of technology, you would pick a startup, because startups always have the most innovative software out there, which you can do more with. You wouldn't pick Ticketmaster or Eventim.
They are all doing the same thing, more or less.
Obviously, everyone would say their software is so much better, but I don't think there are huge differences that have a real business effect for an artist or a promoter. I think it is more about brand awareness.
Are you familiar with C-Tickets, which Eventim acquired?
Yes.
Give me an overview of C-Tickets. Is it all B2B? Is it a mix of B2B and B2C? Which countries? And why do you think Eventim bought it? What was the rationale?
I wasn't involved in that at all. But I think C-Tickets in different geographies has different business focuses. The way that I see them is as a marketplace and as a software provider. The software they offer promoters is called PayLogic, and I have seen them around a lot in festivals. Personally, I think festivals have reached their peak. For the past 20 years, the festival business grew tremendously, from being an unorganized place for students to attend and promote events to a multi-million euro business. The festival promoters that I have met and spoken to, it is extremely important to them to be independent and to be in the liberal urban community space. They didn't want big tech or big commerce companies to associate with them. For a long time, I have seen those festival promoters picking software products that were from their world, maybe programmed by other former festival promoters themselves. That was important to them. They definitely didn't want to be associated with popular music. It is different now, but that was the case back then. They definitely didn't want to be associated with large corporations, because large corporations aren't young and they aren't cool, and that was important to them. As the festival business grew into substantial businesses, you would see some small software providers, and I think C-Tickets PayLogic was one of them. They grew with that space into large organizations, and they would automatically protect against the large corporations by being cool. They would offer better software that was also better suited for selling festival tickets, because you have some different technological requirements. The flow of purchasing a ticket and being on site, since it's a festival that often goes for many days, would have some different requirements. Maybe you would have cashless wristbands while at the festival. If Ticketmaster, Eventim, or another large corporation would have built a festival tool, they still wouldn't have been cool. There was a few acquisitions of that sort, such as Fever and Dice. What you buy is more brand coolness and content that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten. I think that is the reason.
Was Germany a big market for C-Tickets, or were they focused on other countries?
They did have some festivals in Germany.
One other topic I was interested in is digital versus paper tickets in Europe, and where we are in that transition. How many musical event and live event tickets are still a PDF or a printout versus a true digital ticket? What is the pace of that transition?
I could make estimations and tell you my personal experience. I don't have official numbers, but you are absolutely right. With everything digital, Europe is lagging behind, as always, in terms of end consumer adoption, especially with concert tickets, and especially with people purchasing on the large networks and brands they trust. They often trust a paper ticket or a PDF ticket more, something they can hold in their hand, than they would a digital ticket. That is fading out quickly. People do use Apple and Google Wallet and other wallet solutions, but you would still see paper tickets around. If you purchase tickets that you want to give as a gift, that sometimes matters for people to say, They want to have it sent via mail to their home address. They want to receive not just a PDF ticket, but a true original concert ticket, printed on thick paper. I could only make a wild guess. If you are selling concert tickets in Germany, maybe 20% are real paper tickets, printed on thick paper and sent by mail. Maybe 50% are PDFs, and the rest would be wallet.
Are the economics to the ticketing company different or better for a digital ticket versus a paper ticket as it moves from paper and PDF to digital wallets?
I have seen networks that when the transition started would charge an extra fee for a PDF ticket. They would have some sort of PDF print-at-home fee. I think to a large extent that was prohibited by jurisdiction. You wouldn't be allowed to do that any longer. While they were able to do that, the margin was probably quite good. Many of my friends complained, and I guess more people complained, so they weren't allowed to do that any longer. Nowadays, I think they would have better margin on selling paper tickets and sending them by mail, because it is an extra service. The more services you can sell, the more margin you will make. You would have things like adding gift wrapping to make it fancy, sending it by secure mail, and selling ticket protection as well. I would think they make less margin on a PDF or a wallet ticket than they would on sending it by mail.
Are you familiar at all with what Eventim is trying to do in the U.S. market? Or was that far away from your work?
I could just make assumptions. With CTS being extremely well-positioned in all of Europe, maybe they could do a bit more in the U.K., but apart from that, they have the continent. So it is a logical next step to attack one of your main competitors on their home turf, to maybe stir up something and make some noise. If you had conquered almost everything that you can on the continent, you would go somewhere else.
What do you think, based on what you know and your experience in the business, would be the biggest risks or threats to CTS Eventim's business in Europe, if there are any?
For a long time, I thought that these cool new technology startups would allow a promoter to do a lot more, and their market share would be under attack. But then Eventim keeps making the right decisions. I'm a big admirer of their CEO, Klaus-Peter Schulenburg, who built this business from the ground up. He seems to always know what is coming next before everyone else sees it. They're doing a tremendous job against rival technologies by looking at what is working for a startup. Of the 100 features a startup launches, which 1, 2, or 3 features do we really need? They pick those features to develop if they were missing them. They do a tremendous job of creating a work culture. It was really good working there, and they keep people around for a long time. They have an extremely low turnover rate. The live entertainment ticket industry is also an industry of personal relationships. I have seen many promoters who are very down to earth, who have built the business themselves from the ground up, and one thing they really require is trust and personal relationships. You cannot easily beat that. Eventim would be a lot more vulnerable if they didn't have that, but they do. They have a huge level of trust and community and good people building these relationships. What else could be a threat? I still think what is not helpful is if an artist sells tickets directly to their fans, because none of the large networks will benefit. Who knows what is coming with AI? Maybe you would have an artist telling their AI agent to sell more tickets, collect data, and do everything. If you roll back time 20 years, there were two companies, Ticketmaster and Eventim, that would invest in selling computer tickets on a computer network. They were the first ones, and for a long time, they were the only ones. If you wanted to sell tickets as a promoter, you would contact Eventim or Ticketmaster and say, "Please, can you sell my tickets?" That was a huge advantage they had. The channels in which an artist or a management promoter can now sell tickets are becoming more accessible. It used to be very locked up behind extremely high barriers of having to build software. No one could do that. Now, if you want to sell tickets yourself, you will find 1,000 software solutions that could do that. You will also find payment solutions. You can set up a software suite that sells tickets and merchandise from your one-bedroom apartment. That is not helpful, and direct-to-consumer is a thing. You also have large music corporations like Sony Music or Universal Music who need to protect their business. What extra services can they offer their artists? They might start selling tickets, so you might see some other large corporations entering that space. For a long time, I thought Amazon tried to sell tickets, but then they figured out it was easier to make more money elsewhere. If Google or Amazon decided to sell tickets today, that could be annoying. If you enter tickets for whatever artist on Google, they collect the data. ChatGPT starts doing that. They might also get into the selling tickets directly game.
Any other comments on the management team or corporate culture at Eventim?
My personal experience was extremely positive. They built a very good culture where people come on board, want to stay for long, and do stay for long. That is another underlying factor for promoters who build relationships. If on a client side you can build relations into your ticket company, it makes operations so much easier. You don't have to explain who you are to a new person every 6 months. The culture and the people and the trust they have among each other transcends into their client relationships. That might be a German or continental thing, but it is definitely a reason that makes Eventim strong.